Welcome back, everybody. This is Cousins for Christ podcast. This is my friend and my cousin cohort,
Friend.
Chris Mash. I say cousin too. And
What up, man?
congratulations to you and your lovely bride, Samantha. They just
Thank
got
you, thank
married this
you.
past couple weeks ago. That's kind of
Very
where we've
excited.
been. How's that treating you so far?
It's good so far. We're just on our second weekend, so
I'm sorry. I was
things
talking to
are
her. I was talking to
good
her.
so far. I'm not gonna let her answer. That's
Okay.
wrong.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So we know how it's going.
Yeah.
So,
She's not gonna fill out any surveys or anything like that, so
yeah, I don't blame her. I don't blame her. Keep her out of reach of the public.
absolutely. No
So,
news is good news on this front.
yeah, I hear you. So I'm not gonna lie to y'all here. We got this up about 3 weeks ago, and with Chris getting, it's not just Chris has been really busy at work. We're not blaming him.
Yeah.
It's me too. I cost us a couple of days, and Chris is married, so we're gonna go over what we got here. It's kind of like just tying into baptism and She-Hole and water, and we're just kind of going all over the place. Now, where we was 3 weeks ago, my mindset, I don't
Yeah, it
remember.
was a
So
little bit.
so where
The
we're
season
going
of water is a
today,
little deeper than maybe, but this
yeah,
might be a little bit more
yeah,
discombobulated.
it will be, because what's going on is this is how me and Chris kind of work with each other. Like, I'll shoot him a text and be like, "Hey man, what about this?" And we don't say it's right or wrong. It just kind of gets us into diving into the Bible more. Like, "Hey, you know what? Let me look into that, and I'm gonna get back." And then he'll shoot me over a text, and it just leads us down this, trail or rabbit hole of sorts. And what it does is anything big and anything new come out of it. Yeah, really, it does, because it helps us dig into the Bible more. Really, it's all
That's
about.
it. It helps us. I mean, because where we'll research the final sources, we're looking in the Bible. So
Yeah.
it's driving us to learn, search God's word for the questions that we're looking for. So, or the answers that we're looking for, rather. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. And it could lead us from anywhere, from Romans to Genesis. You never know. It may take us anywhere. And that's part of the fun we have with texting back and forth.
It
Yeah.
is. It's sparked some really good conversation, but I'll tell you that. So,
Yeah. And let's shoot right into it. You ready?
yeah, I'm ready too, if you are, bud.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about, does baptism submersion represents death and being reborn again as you come out of the water? And my thoughts on this is, yes, baptism is submission. Of submission symbolizes death, burial, and resurrection. When a person is immersed in the water, it represents dying of their old self and being buried with Christ. Coming up out of the water signifies being reborn into a new life, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead. This idea is strongly supported by Romans 6:3-4, which we'll read real quick, which explains that what are buried with Christ through baptism and raised to a new life. You want me to read that before you comment on anything?
No, you go right ahead.
Romans 6:3-4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Any thoughts on
No, I mean that's exactly it. Everything, a lot of the big, like words or like the symbols, analogies, and stuff that come through is like purification and cleansing. Like, water often symbolizes the spiritual cleaning and removal. And you'd said it perfectly. Like when you are submerged, fully submerged in there, baptism is a burial. Fully submerged, you come out like you leave your sins and it washes away. And I know we're going to get into some of the connection, like how much purification water symbolizes. Because I mean, what was one of your favorite characters in the whole Bible is
Well, which I mean, a lot of them, Noah.
no, but you know what I mean? No, I mean that whole God uses water to cleanse the
Yeah.
to submerge in full submersion. It was not a sprinkling, it was a full submersion. So
Yeah. And I kind of got this next one, just kind of like, was She-Hole? This kind of ties in. This is where it leads us, was where was She-Hole?
You're explain what She-Hole is.
Okay,
I
so
like that.
She-Hole is where the dead is kept, basically. In Jewish tradition, Sheol is not hell necessarily. Hell's not open yet. Hell doesn't come to the final judgment to fire and brimstone. Sheol is the place of the holding place of the dead. And it was cut in two, at least two. It was cut in paradise and it was cut in torment, which we talked about a few weeks ago. When the rich man and Lazarus died, the rich man went to torment and Lazarus went to paradise or Abraham's bosom, depending on what you want to call it. And that's where the dead waited to be brought back, either to find out to their judgment to see where they were going. And that's Jewish tradition. And it was, a lot of it was thought that Sheol was at the bottom of the ocean or close to the center of the earth. And it says that Sheol was not specifically located at the bottom of the ocean, but it was often described as being deep within the earth or shadowy lower realm. However, biblical imagery sometimes connects Sheol with the sea, as you see with Jonah 2:2-6 and Psalms 88:6, where the depths of the ocean are metaphorically linked to Sheol. The sea, like Sheol, is often viewed as a place of inescapable darkness and chaos. And you can see, you have those verses. You want me to read them?
No, you can go ahead, man. You got it.
Okay. Is Jonah 2:2-6, and linking this with that thought with this, is saying, I called out to the Lord, and out of my distress, he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and all your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And at the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord of mine. In Psalms 88:6, you have put me in the depths of the pit, in the rains, in the regions of the dark and the deep. And it's kind of like this when by reading this right here, what Jonah is saying, Jonah, for all purposes, he was dead to the world. He was dead.
No.
Like, you're swallowed by fish. You're taken down. And this is why he's comparing this death to Sheol in the water.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I know you're more well studied into that than I. So I appreciate you bringing up that. But it's kind of crazy. But I mean, with as many water references that there are in the Bible, from
mm-hmm.
you know the where the dead in the Jewish terms, or mm-hmm. you know the judgment, which is Noah and death, and we're covering those. And then you know one of the things that kind of kept popping up too was kind of the chaos and uncertainty of water.
Yeah,
that what
yeah,
it represented right. was the storms when they were on the sea and Jesus was sleeping, and they didn't trust it. You know, they were scared of what was going to happen. Peter, when he was walking
on water towards Jesus,
when he walked and he took his eyes off and saw the storm and the water, it was chaos and uncertainty for him.
Or even when the boat, it was in the middle of the sea and Jesus was asleep.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
It was like calm and controlled chaos.
It is. And then, but I mean, it still gives a representation of peace too. You know, you look at Psalm 23:2, one of the most famous when you talk about at funerals and things. You know, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So
mm-hmm.
there is that, you know, it represents a lot of, you know, chaos and also tranquility within the Bible. So it's a big one.
It is. And it's just kind of show everybody, just like, this is what water represents, is death this whole time. You know, it's kind of where we're going with this.
Absolutely. I mean, it does represent, I don't know if you're planning on getting this or not. Like I said, we're just kind of going all over, but you know, there are a lot of references to Jesus as the living one.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, like, it does represent quite frequently the death or, you know, renewing life, but there is the promise of water also represents both the spirit, the quenching of the soul. The living water.
That you drink from his cup, you won't have thirst anymore.
And that's in the first instance, or from first, it's in the New and Old Testament. In the Old Testament, I saw one for renewal and hope, Isaiah 12 and 3. I said, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So, I mean, I guess if you think about it, like, how important was water during these times? If we look at it
Of
like,
importance. Water
settled
was
around it,
life.
water was life. It's not as
Yeah.
now I'm probably drinking too many Coke Zeros every day, or that's how I get my carbonated water. It's not as, you know, people have kind of gotten away from the how important water is and how much it sustained life.
And kind of where it also led back in those times, water was huge. Like, we didn't have the ships we had back then, so to go across the ocean, in the ocean or the seas, it could mean death. Like Paul shipwrecked, what, two to three times? You couldn't control it. It was a bit chaos.
Well, I mean, look at what Moses did with the Red Sea.
He parted it, yeah.
And also, they got kind of buried a little bit, from what I can recall about that story.
Okay.
That helped them
So,
with that.
oh yeah. So let's move on to just something you brought up before we started. Also, did the pigs run off the cliff of the ocean because it was a metaphor for She-Hulk? You know what we're referring to there? The
What's
story
that? Oh, you
of Jesus
mean
casting demons into the pigs, which they ran into the sea. Matthew 8:28-34, Mark 5:1-20, or Luke 26-39. Could symbolization of Sheol or the abyss. In Luke 8:31, the demons begged Jesus to send them into the abyss, not to send them into the abyss. The sea often represents chaos, destruction, which you was talking about, and even demonic forces in biblical imagery. For instance, like Revelations 13:1, and the pigs plunge into the sea could symbolize the final fate of evil beings cast into destruction through the Jewish symbolism and what they would think of the ocean and the sea at that.
Right. And I don't have it in front of me. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't in the Revelations one of the beasts come out of the water?
We're going to get to that. Yes, we are.
We are doing that? Okay, sorry.
We
Foreshadowing. I'm foreshadowing.
It's all right. So we'll start with this one right here. Matter of fact, we're going to get to that real quick since you brought it up. Revelations 13:1. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with a diet with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. See, it shows right there that the beast was coming out of the ocean or the sea, because it would have been in the Mediterranean. So yeah, there you go.
Well, what do you think? I mean, this is just an opinion. I don't know if you, what do you, I mean, what do you think that the water is representing, like with the beast coming out of it? You take it like, I mean, to me, it symbolizes some kind of like the chaos or
Exactly what it is.
judgment or power. You know what I mean? The what's the
So
partake
God can control the seas and the waters. It
from
shows
it?
it when, like I said, when Jesus was taking a nap on the boat across, and the storm hit, and the waters is rocking the boat, and they're like, "Help us, Lord, help us! We're going to sink here." And he gets up, he's like, "Calm!" And they're like, "Who is this that can even calm the waters?" And that's not verbatim, but so yeah, God can control the man. Even nowadays, from the Titanic, there's still ships that sink every day. Not well, maybe not every day, but ships
Well,
still sink.
when we went to on our honeymoon, we snorkeled. It was a we snorkeled around this crash, a boat shipwreck. So I mean,
Oh,
it's just
really? Yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Well, not
yeah,
for
that
the people that
was.
was in it, but for
No, that's
afterwards.
what I made that comment. I was like, "How about on our vacation? We're vacation where someone endured their worst day of their life."
You ain't wrong about that. It's definitely up our top 10. I guarantee you
Top
that.
top 10, top 20 maybe. But I just made
Would
that
you hate to see that person's top 10 if it didn't crack
comment. I
five?
know. You think like 100 years from now, those people are being like, you know, 100 years from now, somebody's gonna be swimming with some weird goggles and a tube. Just
Yeah.
staring
Yeah,
at
here we are suffering, and we're fighting, fending off sharks, trying not to fall asleep. And he's got a snorkel diving with flopper flipper zone.
going back to that is just a terrifying image. Like water, I mean, think of one of the things that just I just don't like is like, especially when we were on the cruise or whatever, it's just the depth and uncertainty of what's in the water.
Yeah, I think that's it. I was at went down to Montgomery Bell the other day, and I was reminiscing about when I'd only went there to the swimming area when I was a kid. I think I went with Jeff and at the time. I may remember it wrong. I remember I wouldn't get in because the swimming pool you could see down. And in the lake you can't see anything. So I don't even think I got maybe knee deep in the water. I was a
Jump
small
off
child.
that. It was just to jump off of that little floating platform out there, and it just the last thing I want to do when I jump, as soon as I hit the water, I was trying to swim up so I didn't hit the bottom.
The good thing, you couldn't do what?
I just couldn't stand the thought of just what was
Oh
down there
yeah.
at
Well,
the bottom.
the good news is now I've gotten so large I can't sink. So I just
Yeah,
pop up like a buoy. You know that when you throw the quarter down at the swimming pool? I can't do that anymore. I've tried to do it with my nephews one time. I would jump in, and the next thing I know, I'd shoot right back up. It's like, no,
you and I are very buoyant.
it's like, no, not today. That quarter's, I'm like, somebody get that quarter. I can't get it. But
But I mean, it's terrifying to think, like, and it, you know, and also, like, in the same Revelation, and I'm sorry if I'm cutting off, but like Revelation 22 and verse 1,
we go. Oh yeah.
the angel, what's that? Do you have that one too?
No, I don't think. I think I got 21-1.
Yeah, okay, I got 22:1. It said, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. I
Yeah,
mean,
that's
just think
new
about
earth,
that.
right?
Eternal peace
Yeah,
and
yeah,
life.
yeah.
Water and
We are
life.
going to get to that.
Okay, I keep
Actually,
jumping
yeah. So you're fine. You're fine, man. I got the notes in front of me. It's harder for you. But just to kind of go back off of those, when Jesus cast out the demons and sent them into the pigs or the swine, and they ran off, a Jewish person reading that would automatically thinking, yes, they was cast into the abyss, they was cast into Sheol in torment to be no more, until wait until judgment. And so it's kind of like that symbolism when they say that, that's what would pop into one, a first century Jew's head.
I have a question for you. So, and this is, you might not have the answer. This might be a subject for another time. But so, if the Jewish belief was that they were going to be sent to the abyss, does that mean, like, even the demons or went to Sheol and were awaiting judgment there?
I don't know where they went. I just know, like, we know that for the fallen angels, some of them was locked up in and one Bible verses in. It was called Tartarus. I don't know, that may be King James. They were chained up in Tartarus in the low caverns and the earth chained up waiting on for judgment. You see, but for that being torment, it would be there. Like a lot of people, when you picture hell nowadays, you'll see people like, oh, okay, so you ever seen these people that like say they died and came back? And they're like, demons, I went to hell and demons was tearing me apart in their flesh and it's ripping me apart. Problem is, demons ain't running hell. Hell's not
No.
open for one. The devil's not running hell. He's not king of hell. He's being sent down there for the same reason anybody else that ends up there. He's not going to set up a palace. He's going to be in torment. He's going to be in pain. He's not. It's not like everybody that kills me. As I seen a kid the other day, he's like, oh, some street preacher asked him on YouTube, they're like, where do you think you'll go? And he's like, I'm going to go to hell. That's where my friends are. That's where the fun's going to be. It's not going to be fun. And I'm not saying you won't see your friends, but I don't think you'll probably see or recognize anybody in hell. I think you'll be going to be too much pain and misery. And let's get this, anything, and this is a subject I'd like to talk about too later on, not to get too far off, but I was in the same boat when I was a kid, when I used to think, I was like, people would ask me, it's like, oh, I want to go to heaven. I'm like, why do you want to go to heaven? Oh, because it's just heaven. Right, it wasn't. The problem is, I was missing the fact what got made it heaven was that it was in the presence of God.
Right, your
Okay,
relationship with God.
yeah.
And I
Well,
feel,
I was just thinking, I just want to go to heaven because it's a good place. It's not because God was there, and that's something maybe we could talk about later on one day.
no, that's a good one too. I think the differences between the two, and like, we always make that joke, like, oh yeah, I'll be driving the bus to hell, like it's gonna be a, party or whatever. But I mean, pretty sure hell is described as loneliness and darkness too. I don't think it's gonna be like,
It's not going to be a party.
I think they're
And you're
pretty
not going to want to
similar
say, well,
there.
I'll say this. Let's talk about this real quick. Is what the rich man said is one of his requests he made, of the request he made from dropping a, dipping his finger into the water, and he's like, "Hey, go warn my brothers, because I don't want them to go to this place." He didn't say, "Hey, my brothers will be down here; it'll be okay." He's like, "Send somebody to warn my brothers where they'll know." And Abraham was like, "Listen, sending back somebody from the dead, if they don't believe the prophets and the scripture, they're not going to believe somebody returns from the dead."
Well, I mean, that's actually kind of fitting because how did he describe the water, even just the drop, was like a
Did to
bitter
quench his thirst just because that's how
thing.
bad it is.
Yeah. So,
So yeah, it's not
very
going to be
good.
fun. But that's kind of what the symbolism with the Jew, a first century Jew, would have no problem understanding. And I know we're saying, like, yes, we can understand the Bible, but one thing we do need, and it still be effective for today, but we also need to think about it was written by God, but it was first century Jews did it through God. And so they would have more understanding. It's kind of like if you go back in the 80s, and I told a kid now that was 10 or 12 years old, I was like, "Oh, gag me with a rubber spoon." They would have no idea what I was talking about, because that was a 1980s thing. You know what I mean? Like, I know this is I had a we worked in Iowa a little while when I was working construction, and I told one of the kids, he showed me his Mustang he had just got, and I was like, "Oh man, that's bad." He's like, "Oh no, it's a really good car." It's because different generations. And that's why I'm saying, yes, can we understand the Bible? Is it meant for today? Yes, but we still have to put it in context that it's coming through the eyes of a first century Jew also.
Correct. But that is not, I like the put that little disclaimer on there. It is not all of those messages and everything that we're talking about, even though we have to look at some of the context of what was going on back then, people still had the same sins, the same challenges
Yeah,
that we all
exactly. I'm
come
not
from today.
saying it's not
No,
relevant. I'm not saying that.
but you do have to look at some, like we go into that whole and we talked about it on our podcast before. Again, it's the water. I mean, you might be talking about the Laodicea or the warm and the lukewarm water.
That's I was just thinking that myself.
So
A first century Jew would have never questioned that. They would have knew exactly what it meant, because especially from the Church of Laodicea, I think it was what it was. They would have knew exactly what was being talked about there, because they was like, "Oh yeah, warm water, it has no use." They would have never crossed their mind anything else. They would have instantly knew, because they lived in that circumstance.
yeah, and
And if you're wondering what we talk about, we did have a podcast from last year at the end of the year talking about
we're
that
trying to get more listens. But no, it was a really good
very.
point too, because I had mistaken it for the lukewarm water. You spit it out. Like I had interpreted that as like, oh, God either wants you to be a full born blown Christian, like fully committed, or just not at all, which is not what that, after looking
No,
into it
I
myself.
don't believe that's what it means. I'm with you. I
No.
believe it means that cold water represents refreshing. Either you can refresh somebody's spirit, or you can be the warm water, the more healing to their spirit.
Healing, yep.
You got each got a
Healing.
use.
Yep. I believe that it makes more sense as when you study the Bible. Like, yeah, why would God not? I'd rather you just be a sinner than.
And you know what? The thing is, like, if we don't study stuff like that and see it, eventually it will be taken that way. It's taken that way a lot now. And that's one reason you do need to do a deep dive into the Bible and go into it deep, just to learn some of the history of these places, because it would only give you a better understanding. It will not break your faith. We're not trying to do that. It will not do that. It's only going to build on your faith. And once you see it, what it is, you're going to be like, "Oh my goodness."
Every time we agree more often than when we first started, like, but we'll think like because we hadn't studied something.
Well, for one, we first started, he was a Buddhist. So yeah.
Well, yeah, that's just because that's
I'm joking.
the
He wasn't. He
case.
wasn't a Buddhist.
I wish I could cross my legs
Yeah.
like that. I'm not sitting that any
Yeah.
style. But anybody wants to check that out, that's Revelations 3:15 through 16. And if you have like a study Bible or you can look it up, that's a really really good. But again, it also goes in hand what we're talking about today is like the water. The hot is healing and the cold is refreshing.
Yeah. It's like, you wouldn't drink, if you was hot middle of summer, you wouldn't drink a hot glass of water. You might have
No.
to, but
Yeah,
you'd
you might say, oh,
prefer an ice
sorry.
cold water to kind of refresh your body, get you going, and keep working in the heat that day. Because believe me, there
Yeah.
wasn't no everywhere was heat back then, because if it was summertime, it was heat. There was no air
No,
So
never.
this kind of takes us to this next part, if you're ready, is it's kind of about the waters and what we just talked about and being abyss is a question I had brought up. Is that why Revelation says there will be no oceans on the new earth because there will be no death part? And it says, yes, that is a strong possibility that Revelation 21:1 states that a new creation there will be no longer any sea. Sea is a biblical imagery, often represents chaos, evil, and death. Since death itself will be abolished in Revelation 21:4, the removal of the sea could symbolize the complete removal of all forms of chaos, evil, and destruction. Just as Sheol and death are thrown into the lake of the fire, Revelation 20:14, the sea disappears in a new heaven and a new earth, meaning there will be no death. There will be, as we know, the Bible says, no sickness. There will be no chaos. There will be no other uprising. And when I say uprising, you're like, what uprising are you talking about? I'm talking about the uprising of, if you ask a Jewish person where in the Bible where it went wrong, they're going to name a couple places. They're going to name when the fall of Adam and Eve, okay, where they ate the apple, because they turned against God at that moment. They went against God's commandments not to eat of that fruit. The second would be Noah in Genesis 6:4. Where the sons of God spotted the daughters of man, came down, causing the flood and all that, ended up being
The
part.
cleansing of the earth,
And then the next one would have been Babel, when they did it
yep.
again. They turned again from God's commandment to spread out. Instead of spreading out, what'd they do? They just, hey, no, we're locking down here. We're going to build this grand tower and make ourselves gods. I mean, I had that last part in, but it doesn't say that. But and I'll go read from Revelations 21:1, that I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Then I got Revelations 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from every eye, and death shall no more. Neither shall there be mourning, no crying, no pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.
Is there part of one of those things that talks about in no thirst in that as well? Is there a verse in there that talks about no thirst as well? I can't remember if there was one
Well,
in that.
you got the lady. I did not put it on here, but the lady at the well, the Sumerian lady at the well.
Oh, that was the word I was talking about in the in Revelation.
There may be after it did. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Yep.
There's, I mean, when you start diving into this, you, I don't think I in my mind I saw it like to fathom how many references water had and how much of a spread that it had over everything, how many different meanings it had. But you were I don't know what you're going to talk about the living water. I know we mentioned it earlier with the lady at the well who was
No, I
looking
wasn't going to talk about it. I
water.
want to talk about just one more little thing, but
Well,
yeah,
go
let me
ahead.
bring that up. Well, let me finish this. Revelations 20 through 14 also, then death and Hades were also thrown into the lake of fire. And Hades, just another name. It's Sheol, Hades. It's all depending on the Greek to the Hebrew, depending on which we're going from. There's no confusion there. We're thrown into the lake of fire and the second death, and this is the second death, the lake of the fire. Lake of fire, yeah. And
Yeah,
that's
still
just to
another.
finish that thought out.
Yeah, I found the one, the Revelation 21:6. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." So again, there's the refreshing and,
Yeah.
but the way you're describing some of the lake of fire, all that, that's just it can be terrifying.
It's not gonna be
Oh,
fun.
that's just terrifying.
And that's why the water represents, and that's kind of where we're going. So the last one, good, we got like 10 minutes here. I'll go ahead and go to the next one. Is so the question was, so the water cleanses you because it's a new you, basically. It says water's baptism symbolizes purification and transformation. Ezekiel 36 tw through 25 through 36 and Titus 3 through 5 speak of God cleansing his people through water and spirit. Baptism represents the burial of the old self and the resurrection into the new life. From Romans 6 to 3:4, also, which we'll read down. Since the sea was often a symbol of chaos, death, and Sheol, it makes sense that the water in baptism is used to represent living or leaving behind sin and stepping into a new life. The absence of the sea of the new earth, Revelations 21 through 1, which I had just read, parallels baptism, where the old self is left behind and the new self emerges. And I'll read, I started this by reading Romans again, but I'm going to read it off again, if you don't mind. Romans 6 through 3, 4, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
I
And
think that's like a full circle right there, bud.
yeah,
Not gonna lie.
and a lot of you are going to be like, I really didn't get nothing out of this. And hey, that's okay.
But I mean, if you look, all right. So here's if we just summed it up, and like we've got the purification and cleansing. You got destruction and death. Like you got from Noah cleansing the earth, and just and that leads into the purification part with the water baptism, where we go in. We went in an old person, or like an old life. Our old life stayed there. We buried in baptism. We arose anew, new Christian, baptized in life. And then, as long as we continue to live that life and we focus on Jesus, he's our living water. He's
He is.
the
He is.
peace, the calm. It's the eternal life. So that's the three. I know we were all over the place with it,
And that's kind of how we are, though. And I'll just let everybody
are.
see, like, one thing we're trying to show you is, like, chase that thought, because you never know where you end. Look how much we covered there from just starting off. The first question was, does baptism submersion represent death and reborn again? It led us all the way back to where we started, you know? And you're thinking, well, how did you get there? Just thoughts, just thought. And you know what we did? We didn't take our own thoughts. What did we do? We went straight to the Bible. We dove into it and we started looking into it again.
And I'll look at this, and this is how I'll do it. I'll get on here, and I'll, I've got the internet and things like that, so I'll Google or ask a question or whatever, and for like Bible references. And but then to confirm or to read, I go to the Bible. I don't necessarily read, like, trust everything that I read, like, online, even for a Bible verse. I go to an actual Bible to see, like, all right, is this was here? But it usually leads to me studying what the Bible says in the actual, and then find something else that correlates with it. And it's just, that's, oh, we have a ton of conversations that just, they go down these rabbit hole, and they're fun. One of us will just think of an
They are
idea.
fun. They are fun.
I
Sometimes they
got,
last a couple of days.
they do. They do. I got my coworker, Mike, who's a Christian as well, talking about worry. And you and I have discussed this before, is worry a sin? If you worry, is it a sin? I'm like, I don't know the answer to it,
Well, I
but all of a
mean, I
sudden
wouldn't
he's like,
think so.
no, but we're supposed to cast worries on Jesus. I think we talked
Yeah,
about
we
this.
are. We did.
The fact is
And
not, if we worry, we don't trust, in some
well,
way.
I know, but we've talked about it. I think, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't think it's right, because if you recall, Jesus was worried so much in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating blood.
Well, exactly. But the whole point of that conversation was, I asked him that question. I mean, he's like, he comes back, he's like, I've looked into some of this. And like, we started looking at some of the answers in the Bible to what it would be. So it's the small things like that, a simple question that can.
And it can lead you forever. And it can leave you having some of the funnest conversations you ever had, you know? And it also just sharpens you. Iron sharpens iron, right?
It really does. It
And you
really
think,
does.
well, why would I have these conversations with Chris or somebody else? Like me and Chris bounce each other's stuff off each other. But why would you have these conversations? Because one day you might get approached by a Mormon. One day you might get approached by a Muslim. One day you might get approached by an atheist. And they have a question, and if you do this sort of thing, you might be a little bit more well versed in it, because you're like, you know what? I'm glad I followed that thought the other day. And maybe that's why that thought's in your head. Maybe God put it in your head because he knew that person was going to approach you in a couple of days to prepare you.
And God wants you to spend time. This is, we pray and we talk to God. This is how God talks to us. And this is how we get to know his character. And so he wants us to dive in and, study and look at these things. Like,
Yeah, I
it's part
agree.
of it. And I need to spend way more time doing it, just
Yeah,
beyond this.
we got
So,
3 minutes, Chris.
all right, brother. Well, man, I thought that was a good one.
I did too. I didn't mean to cut you
Oh
short in the middle of a
no,
thought.
you're good. No, you're good, man. I appreciate it. This was Jeremy's idea we've been talking about, so this was another good one.
Oh, great. Now everybody's going to be messaging me.
No,
Oh.
no. We both vote on it. We both do a vote
Yeah.
to make sure it's something good. Do you want to tell them what we might be doing next week?
Yeah, next week we're going to have a fun one. I'm going to get up some videos together of preachers preaching. Like, we all have heard that one where the guy's like, hey, lock the doors. No one's leaving until I get $40,000 donated. So we're going to be doing stuff like that and finding other ones, kind of just, and I ain't going to show Chris. I might give him a little peek. That way I want his honest opinion of it because it's not going to be anything
Oh, I
out
like
he can't
that
handle. Yeah, so he's going to
idea.
know, but he's going to see it firsthand. Unless he had seen it in the past, and he's going to be able to just thought.
Yeah, you did that with me with that $40,000, and it blew my mind.
It's fun. It's going to be
It's
fun.
insane. Yeah,
But
it'll be fun.
you can find us on Facebook. Oh, if you want to see our pretty faces, and if you don't want to see us, you can find us on Spotify and any other the anywhere you can do podcasts. Chris, you'll close us out in prayer.
Yeah, please bow. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come and discuss your word and kind of bounce thoughts off each other that drive us into studying your word and becoming, just like Jeremy said, sharpen iron with iron. We pray, dear Father, that everything we say here has been in accordance with thy will, and we can use it to, in the future, to help bring any of the lost to be saved and to push people towards you, the living water, the eternal life that we long to be with, Father. We pray to your Father that you will go with us and keep us and guide us and keep us safe until the next time we meet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We love all y'all. Thank y'all for listening and
Love you
watching.
guys.